Governor Tony Evers is giving a total of $1 million across 10 organizations in grants aimed at decreasing mental health disparities in Wisconsin. Each group that receives part of the grant will use it to increase access to mental health and or substance abuse support. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced a lack of access to needed mental health care in Wisconsin for you or a loved one, or if you're in health care for a patient? Share your story. What would help in your neck of the woods? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We've got three guests with us today, each from one of the 10 organizations that received this grant funding. Tara Wilhelmi is a partner with Chrysalis and the founder of Ito in Madison. Tara, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, my pleasure to be here.
And Kirsten Cooper is Executive Director of the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. Kirsten, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Lo Nang Kiatukesi, Executive Director of the Hmong American Friendship Association. Lo Nang, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, mental health disparities can mean a lot of different things in a lot of different places. I want to ask each of you in turn what mental health disparities mean for the communities you work with. And Lo Nang, let's start with you. What kind of mental health disparities, access disparities, and others are you seeing with the Hmong American Friendship Association?
Well, there's quite a bit. You know, we are a product of the Vietnam War, and as a result, we are the first, second, and third generation into the United States. So there's quite a bit of us experiencing mental health, PTSD. And when you look at the data across the state of Wisconsin for Wisconsin Behavioral Health Need Assessment, you don't really find data regarding Hmong population. We are category under Asian or under other, and I think it's just really hard for us to get the true entity of us. So with this grant, we're able to conduct survey and really identify the needs in our community. And those needs are quite a bit. We did some study and came up with quite a bit that I think it's pretty alarming. At the same time, it's great resources for us. And we hope that this grant where we could share with service providers out there so that they are more familiar with the Hmong community.
And Kirsten, with the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin, what do mental health disparities mean in that context?
Yeah, so we know that about 70% of the autistic population experiences some kind of co-occurring mental health condition. And we've heard from families across our service area that they're having some trouble accessing mental health services, or finding therapists that understand autistic neurology and can adapt the therapy to meet their needs. You know, when you think about autism, it is a brain-based developmental disability, so that it impacts the way the brain processes and uses information. And people with autism are considered neurodiverse, which is a way of recognizing that people experience and interact with the world around them in different ways based on their neurology. And when we look at it that way, start to understand that there's really no right way of thinking, learning, or acting. Just as computers or phones have different operating systems, so do brains. So one way isn't better than the other, they're just different. And so just like any other service, we need to accommodate for neurodiversity. And when we do that, we change our approaches to adapt for those differences. And so, you know, just like with education and other services in the community, our mental health care really needs to account for those differences in the brain and build access in that way.
And then Tara, with Chrysalis, what kind of mental health disparities do you see in your work?
Yes, thank you. So Chrysalis and Ito are both taking the lens of peer support. So we're certified peer support specialists. That practice, the unique piece of that is that we require lived experience in either mental health or substance use or co-occurring, and to be on a journey of recovery. And so that's the kind of prerequisite to becoming a certified peer support specialist. So when you hear people talk about lived experience, that is what we bring into a space. We work along the framework of recovery within a medical model. And for those who are practitioners, they understand that there's a clinician, and then there's another way of delivering service within that. And that would be where peer support kind of falls. And then for Edo, we take a very specific lens and framework from the Black American experience. And so I'm going to speak to disparities in both those spaces, and there's some overlap. Access to providers is one of the disparities in our communities. Whether we're looking from a racial lens of therapists that have the same cultural racial identity, or if we're looking for practitioners who have their own lived experience and use it in a self-disclosure space where we are able to talk about it and use it as a modeling and a support to others' recovery. And so both places, there's access issues as far as just the number of providers. And then for our community, there's also within the Black community, a lot of undiagnosed mental health and stigma around receiving support. And so peer support specialists, by bringing in lived experience, we do a lot to work against those stigmas, because my first statement in telling you what my career is to tell you that I have a lived experience in recovery from mental health and or substance use. And so that helps to break down some of those barriers. And so the work that Chrysalis and I do really hinges upon addressing those two disparities.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Andy is with us in Cecil. Andy, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Andy?
I just wanted to bring up the fact that in Wisconsin, there's not a large selection of diversity when it comes to finding a therapist for mental health. I'm on assistance badger care, so you kind of get stuck with what they assigned you. And then I was also wondering if there's any venues I could take to pick my therapist and one that would better relate to my situation and my family situation. Thank you.
Andy, thanks for that call. I'd be interested in getting all of your perspectives on that. Tara, let's start with you this time. I know you do peer support in particular at Chrysalis. But in talking to people in your own experience, do you agree with Andy that we could use more diversity in our mental health providers?
Absolutely. We could use more diversity, and we could also think at a state level about how do we increase access and take down barriers. And so if we're able to view the diverse providers that we have at a state level instead of a county-based level, we would have access to more folks. And so you could imagine someone in the northern part of the state accessing support from a specialized, individualized support in Madison, Milwaukee, or another area, and what that would do to increase our capacity. So I think that we need to think about how are people strategically placed into counties to support? How do we diversify funding pools? Because for my case right now, peer support is primarily funded through Medicaid reimbursement. And so somebody who's not in Medicaid has less access. And so thinking about diversifying funding and then advocating at a state level for ways for us to support through telehealth, which surely through the pandemic became very normalized as a legitimate way to provide that type of support.
And Lonang, your thoughts on our caller's question about diversity of therapy providers?
You know, I'm a big supporter of diversity, and, you know, connecting resources to my community has been our number one priority. If you get all the resources in the world and you don't know the language, you cannot connect the language barrier and culture barrier, it means that our people cannot get access to services. So we're very concerned about connecting that barrier. And it would be so wonderful for all of us to educate each other, to work with each other so that we can bridge that gap so our community can get the services and service providers can provide services to our community.
Thanks again for that call. I want to bring on another caller, and I think this one is going to go to you for the most part, Kirsten. Hans is with us in Kaukauna. Hans, hello.
I just want to express how difficult it's been to find help for an adult autistic person. You learn to mask, you learn to cope, but to actually find help as an adult has been very difficult in the area. So I will listen to your response on the radio. Thanks.
Hans, thank you so much for the call and for sharing your concerns. Kirsten, autism care, especially for adults.
Yeah, absolutely. And that experience really mirrors what we're hearing from our community as well. And that's part of the reason why we are really proud to be a part of this project and get this grant funding. What we're planning to do with the grant funding we've received is roll out some trainings for mental health providers to learn more about autistic neurology, autistic experiences, and how they can adapt different therapeutic modalities for their autistic populations. So, you know, we're really looking at building the capacity of mental health providers in our service area in Wisconsin to be able to provide better services. So we're hoping that at the end of the year, after we've rolled out our training and brought in different behavioral health professionals, that we will have a longer list of providers that we can point families to.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Kirsten Cooper, Executive Director of the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin, Lo Nang Kayatukasi with the Hmong American Friendship Association, Executive Director there, and Tara Wilhelmi, a partner with the organization Chrysalis. They're here to talk about how their organizations will use state grant funding in an effort to help overcome mental health disparities. They're three of 10 organizations around Wisconsin dealing with different pieces of this mental health disparity puzzle. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you, as a mental health care provider, healthcare provider, or someone who's seeking care, do you see obstacles in your part of the state, in your community, however you might define that? Love to hear your story, maybe your questions for our guests at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We are talking about a grant from the state aimed at tackling mental health disparities in communities around Wisconsin. Went to 10 groups. We've got three of those groups represented right now. Kirsten Cooper is with us, Executive Director of the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin, Lo Nang Kayatukasi, Executive Director of the Hmong American Friendship Association, and Tara Wilhelmi, a partner with the organization Chrysalis. Go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Leah is with us in Minnesota. Leah, hello.
Hello. Yeah, I am a clinician. I'm just beginning in my career with clinical counseling. And what I've just noticed as part of the process in becoming a therapist is there are so many hoops to jump through to do that. And it's frustrating on the clinician end, too, to see that, you know, I'm like, right, even if I'm living in Stillwater, that I cannot provide services for someone who's living in Hudson, Wisconsin. And it feels like almost like it feels like it's creating more barriers than necessary, just the process of licensure and what each licensure is able to provide. And what I was talking to someone shortly before this was, There's legislation called the Counseling Compact, but it only kind of goes for the licensed professional clinical counselors and not for LMFTs or social work, which are two different. They're all under the same umbrella of counseling.
Interesting.
Each state needs to be able to sign up for the Counseling Compact to be able to provide services to another state.
I gotcha. Leah, thanks a lot for that call. Leah talking about a particular hurdle that she's running into as a clinician. I want to ask each of you if there's something where it's not so much you need something extra, but if there's a hurdle, an obstacle in your way to finding care for the communities you work with. Lo Nang, let's start with you. Is there something that you think is kind of getting in the way of connecting your community members with the care they need?
Oh, definitely. Hurdles are everywhere, especially in the mental health area, because it's so new to our community too, and learning, jumping through hoops and things like that, it's really hard, especially calling people on the phone who speaks different language, and you have to go around, circle around and around. I mean, that's hard. And I can't imagine going through the whole healing session or therapy session, it's really hard if you don't speak the language or you don't know the culture, or people that works there are not familiar with your language or your culture. And that is just the beginning of the hurdle. And quite a bit, we face quite a bit in our community. So I'm really glad to have this opportunity, and we create a protocol to help service providers so that we will lessen those hurdles as we go and seek service from them as they understand our culture and our, what the do's and the don'ts in our community.
And then, Tara, is there a particular hurdle that you run into a lot when it comes to connecting people with the peer support that you provide?
Well, I would say really it's about the funding cycle. And again, going back to the advocacy needs. So I was really interested in what the caller said about the counseling compact and how that might be applied to a county-based level within the state. Because for us, CCS is the primary funder, which is Medicaid. So people providing peer support are being reimbursed through Medicaid. And Medicaid right now, the CCS intake is suffering from lack of staffing, as so many other organizations and entities are. But that creates a wait list. And so as an organization providing peer support coming into CCS, the people I'm currently providing support to are going to have to be eligible for CCS, go through an intake, and be assigned back to my organization for me to be able to continue serving them and be reimbursed through Medicaid. And so that's okay for folks who are in the system. But as we're out in the community connecting and doing outreach and bringing folks in who want the support, there's a wait, right? There's a bottleneck that occurs in wait list. And something that's interesting to me is there's a credentialing level for the people who do the intake, which is paper processing, right? The diagnosis is coming from a clinician to get into CCS. And then in order for you to begin to see service providers, you go through an intake. And so I think that there's ways we could look at legislatively to lighten some of those barriers in places that we could take away some of the credentialing needs, licensure needs that aren't necessary and are actually bottlenecking the process. And then just having more providers, of course. Mm. Thank you.
And Kirsten, with the Autism Society, obstacles you see out there that you hope could be removed to help connect people with care?
Yeah, you know, I agree with what has been said. So a lot of the barriers we're seeing is that, of course, people have certain insurances or covered by Medicaid, which only will cover certain providers. But those providers might not be the providers that have the autism expertise or might be the good match for the person looking for care. And so there's just a lot of different barriers in finding the right therapist for you.
We're talking to Tara Wilhelmi with Chrysalis, Kirsten Cooper with the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin, and Lonang Kyodukasi with the Hmong American Friendship Association, looking at a state grant to those at other groups aimed at overcoming mental health disparities. I know one issue that connects all of this in some ways is related to stigma. Tara mentioned that earlier, overcoming stigma. I want to ask each of you, and just with a minute for each of you or so, I think, Lonang, how important is it in your work to help overcome stigma that might be connected with seeking mental health care?
You know, stigma, it has been a big barrier because if you have a person in your family who have mental health, they're labeled as crazy. And that also associated with bad genes. So a lot of people, even though they have kids or sibling that needs help, they don't really, they kind of do it things secretly. A lot of times they don't seek help until it's very late.
And Kirsten, same question, stigma as it relates to autism.
Yeah, so I think that the autism population sees stigma sometimes in two different ways. So they're experiencing stigma sometimes in relation to their autism, and then can also experience it through a co-occurring mental health condition. And it's something that we really need to think about as communities and how we can, you know, build more accepting and inclusive communities so that everyone is feeling welcome and accepted and, able to access the services they need.
And Tara, your comment earlier on put the concept of stigma in my mind. Can you talk a little more about how you try to overcome that in your work?
Absolutely. So Chrysalis and Ito's Certified Peer Support Learning Community is what the grant funding is going towards. And we focus on agencies. And so what we find is that peer support specialists face bias in the role based on their lived experience, expectations, or misunderstanding of the role. So we have organizations that want to bring peer support in and don't fully understand what that is. And so stigma shows up in beliefs and bias about actually people who suffer from challenges with mental health and substance use. And so that's a stigma that we are constantly advocating around and educating around, is how to really engage a lived experience professional like a certified peer support specialist and value that experience.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to our three guests today. We've been talking to Tara Wilhelmi, partner with Chrysalis and the founder of Ito Culturally Rooted. Kirsten Cooper with us, the executive director of the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin, and Lo Nang Kayatukesi, executive director of the Hmong American Friendship Association. They've been with us talking about mental health care disparities here in Wisconsin. We reached out to them because they're 3 of 10 groups who got this grant from the state aimed at tackling mental health disparities. We got a few tastes of what that might look like in Wisconsin. There's also talk about lack of access in rural parts of the state, transportation to get mental health care from the biggest cities down to the smallest towns. This is all out there, and we'd still like to hear from you. Do mental health disparities affect your life, your family, your workplace? If you're a care provider or you work in the healthcare system somewhere in your part of the state, in the community that you identify with, do you see particular challenges, particular obstacles to getting mental health care you might need? Or do you have solutions to some of those problems you'd like to see at the local or state or even national level? Love to hear from you. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org with your story, your personal experience, your ideas, and what you'd like to hear more of on the radio. Hopefully, if we hear from you, we can set up a conversation about that in the future. Again, you can email us ideas@WPR.org.